And again, today's guest, Chris Voss, we're discussing his book, Never Split the Difference, if you're just tuning in. And there's stories throughout the whole book, and, you know, I'm just always a fan, as all people are, you know, learning by and connecting to stories. One of them that caught my attention when you were working with the FBI hostage negotiation, there was a hostage situation in Harlem. I think it was 1998. And to me, it's just very interesting. It was really before a lot of the technology. And you actually had to physically, I think it was you and a partner, I believe, had to physically speak through the apartment door in this hallway in some apartment building in Harlem for, I think it was like 6 hours, if I got it right. And in so doing, it taught you a great lesson, again, in that tactical empathy. Take us through that. What was that like?
Yeah, well, you know, and I actually thought, because every hostage negotiator spends time talking to an empty house or an empty apartment. It's sort of a rite of passage. And we, you know, that one. We were in the 27th floor of a high rise in Harlem when Harlem was still, you know, a pretty dangerous place.
Sure.
And, you know, we took the circus up to the 27th floor. We figured the bad guys had to be long gone by the time we got there. So I'm like, all right, cool. I got a couple of rookie negotiators with me. You know, we're going to talk to an empty apartment. It's going to be a rite of passage. I'd spoken to an empty house before. And so, you know, we just start, if they're inside, if they're listening, you know, what's our tactical empathy approach? How do we articulate what their fears are so their fears go away and they will ultimately feel like they can come out the door slowly and not get shot? And, you know, if you're hiding in an apartment, what are your fears? Well, you're scared of getting caught. You're scared of going to jail. And so we just say that, I'm sure it seems like you're scared of going to jail. I'm sure you feel like you don't want to get caught. You know, actually nailing their fears on the head, just calling them out one at a time. And we're talking using a late night FM DJ voice for 6 hours. We're trading off, you know, we're describing everything to them, like, you know, part of it is describe the future, describe a safe future. So we're saying, when you come out, you'll come out slowly, your hands will come first, then we'll see your elbows, then we'll see your shoulders, you move slowly, and we're in excruciating detail, we're describing how they will come out safely, how they'll be treated with dignity, because we're going to bring them out with dignity. And we're at this for 6 hours, and I even got SWAT guys tapping me on the shoulder going like, hey, man, if I was inside, I'd have come out by now. I'm absolutely convinced the place is empty. And we get a call from a sniper on the rooftop of another building that says, I just saw a curtain inside move.
Yes, yes.
So, and we're like, holy mackerel. It's like getting hit with an electric shock. They're in there.
So this whole time, you still think you're talking to an empty apartment?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we just go back in and we say, look, we just, you know, late night FM DJ voice still going. And we go, look, we just saw a curtain move. I've been telling you for 6 hours, we're not going to leave. Leaving. We know you're in there. You come out safely. And the door opens up real slow and hands, and then elbows, and then shoulders, and the first person comes out. And, wow. I go with the first person, we go off to the side, and I go like, why didn't you say something? You know, we've been talking for 6 hours, why didn't you say something? And this girl goes, well, we wanted to get away. And I said, well, all right, so why'd you come out? She said, well, you said you weren't leaving. And we finally believed it and came out.
So is it, now I'm hearing, I read the story, I'm hearing you tell the story firsthand. So is it that they, that you wear them down or that they feel safe?
It's both.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
You know, the late night FM DJ voice, again, it's a neuroscience thing that we know about now.
Right, right.
Like, I can reach into your brain with the tone of my voice and I can slow it down. With the late night FM DJ voice, it actually is a solid injection of a tranquilizer, a calm, into your brain. Because I hit your mirror neurons. It's a chemical reaction. You can't stop me from triggering the action. Now, you can fight it, but your mirror neurons are an automatic response. So if I know that, then what's the possibility that I can hit those mirror neurons in a different way and trigger other emotions? But then, you know, I can actually speed your brain up. I can make you combative, or I can make you feel like you want to collaborate with me. If I just smile, you'll feel that. And that hits your mirror neurons in a different way, and it triggers a different chemical reaction. We did all this stuff with hostage negotiation. We didn't know we were neuroscientists. We just thought we were laymen. But I'm a scientist.
So all right. So let me ask you. I mean, obviously, you know, you're in the corporate world now as an author, as a consultant, Black Swan Group. You know, you're talking to some of, you know, the world's biggest corporations, helping them with complex negotiations. But if you go back to your experience in the FBI, I'm just being curious. I'm not even a radio host right now. I'm just a guy reading a book. The difference between a negotiation where life is on the line versus, because, you know, business negotiations are, you could lose a deal, it could be millions, whatever, but it's not a life on the line. Do you still approach it? Are your techniques or your strategies still the same?
You know, it's still the same thing because for two reasons. First of all, you know, there's an old saying, your biggest problem is your biggest problem.
Right.
So, you know, a guy is going to act like it's the end of the world if he doesn't get the deal. Or salespeople are being taken hostage by quarterly results.
Yes,
on a regular basis.
Yep.
So people are getting bent out of shape. The boss has yelled at him. Their wife has yelled at him. The girlfriend has yelled at him. The girl they want to impress is out there. You know, whatever it is, there's all the still same decision making is going on because that's the way we're built as human beings. And it doesn't matter what your gender is. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. The system of decision making in our brains, which is wrapped around the limbic system, it right. functions the same way, whether you're on Wall Street, you know, whether you're on Main Street, whether you're on a dirt road in a third world.
Doesn't matter. Right. Wow. So here's something interesting. We've all heard, you know, you said in the book, we're addicted to yes. And then a big part of what we talk about, I'm sorry, what you talk about is the negotiation starts with no, which is so much the polar opposite of how people have been programmed. Yeah. So two-part question. Why are we addicted to yes? And then we'll get to no.
Yeah, well, it's one of those words that, depending upon which side of it you're on, it's a vastly different experience because we love to hear it. I mean, Robert Cialdini wrote a book called 50 Scientifically Proven Ways to Get to Yes, which sold a bunch of copies just because of that title.
Sure, yeah, you're right. Cialdini
points out, and Robert Cialdini, brilliant dude. I mean, I've met him, I've spoke with him, I've shared the stage with him, smart guy.
Yep.
But he points out that yes has been designated one of the most beautiful words in any language.
Really?
I mean, we love to hear it. The sound of yes, regardless of, you know, whatever version of language we speak, it just, when we hear it, we hear the angels sing, we hear the birds chirp, we feel the sunshine. We
right.
love it.
Right.
But the flip side of it is, anybody tries to get us to say yes, if we're on the other side of the word, now our guard goes up. What do you want? What is saying yes to this let me in for? If I say, have you got a few minutes to talk? There isn't a person on the planet that says to themselves, oh God, how long is this?
Yes, yeah, right.
So it's crazy because everybody says, yeah. I mean, nobody feels good when they pick up the phone and the voice on the other end of the line says, have you got a few minutes to talk? Nobody reacts and goes, oh my God, this is an opportunity to say yes. And they go, yes. You know, like they in an opera voice.
Right.
Hearing it and saying it are two different things. And saying it always makes us wonder, what's the hook? Where's the trap?
Wow.
So we're like, all right, if it's that much of a problem, let's just stop bothering with the word entirely.
Why fight it? Yeah. Wow. Okay. So that's why we're addicted to it, because it's, you know, angels singing. But then once we're asked for the yes, then it's like, what is this person trying to do to me? How are they trying to swindle or screw me kind of thing? Right.
Right. Right. Exactly. And so what's so stupid about that? I mean, this is works so well, and it's so stupid because most people are afraid of now. But just, you know, the first thing we try to teach people is just, first of all, stop using yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But then then you can say, look, instead of saying, you know, do you agree? Say, do you disagree? And somebody will go like, well, no, I don't disagree. But, you know, here are the following things that I need. Now you're talking. Now you're in a dialogue. Now you find out what's going on. You know, you can say, salespeople say, after everything I've laid out, does this look like something that would work for you? That's a classic yes trap question.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to answer that in any way, shape, or form. But you can say, you can flip it over to no and say, look, after everything I've laid out, does this look like a stupid idea? And people go, no, it doesn't look like a stupid idea, but, you know, this is what I need you to do to fix it. Now you're talking. Now you're getting into actually how you can make a deal by letting people feel safe when they say no. So, all right, let's take advantage of that.
Wow. Wow. Do you feel an unfair advantage when you're going up against these intellectuals or high-powered executives? Come on, be honest.
Well, sometimes,
but good for you. I mean, it works.
There was some data that was run a long time ago that said that people who are highly educated or have high IQs actually make poor negotiators.
Really?
Because they're too busy wanting to show you how smart they are to actually listen to you.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, that is amazing. Now, there are so many ways and so many more questions I'd love to keep asking you. I'd be really curious to know, with your experiences going back to the FBI, was there a hostage negotiation that either it taught you the most or it had the biggest impact on you? And, of course, why?
Well, there was, they all had a big impact, but one, we worked a case where we thought the hostages would come out, and the bad guys didn't release the hostage. There was an agreement between the bad guys and the family,
mm-hmm.
and the bad guys reneged. They stole the money. They didn't let the hostages go, and then the two out of three remaining hostages were killed by friendly fire in a botched rescue mission.
Mm. Okay.
And through the course of the negotiation that we coached, even the bad guy negotiator was surprised that his colleagues didn't. And that was how I ended up at Harvard, because we read it properly, we did everything we knew how to do, and it still didn't work out. And I thought, well, we got to get better.
Right. Okay.
Which is, but then in hindsight, I've come to find out, like, I've heard a major telecommunications company,
mm-hmm.
and when I get data, it's tip of the iceberg. I don't believe it's exception to the rule. I believe that it's common.
Okay.
And this company, fully half the deals they sign are never implemented. So their negotiator thinks they have a deal, and he takes it back to his colleagues, and they renege. They find a way to weasel out of it.
Really?
Exactly like what happened to us in this kidnapping in the Philippines. And that was one of the last things, and us learning how to deal with it, and we came up with a strategy so that would not happen. And since I've been out and teaching business negotiation, I find out what a huge problem this is in the private sector. We just keep finding out about hostage negotiation strategies that are tailor-made for the things that everybody in the private sector is dealing with.
Wow. You think the outcomes are so, you know, completely different, you know, a human life versus a deal or money or what have you, that there would be bigger differences, but it's really not, because you're dealing with human nature. I mean, that's what so much of it comes down to. Right.
Exactly.
Chris, this, again, a great book. To me, it's a must read. The book is Never Split the Difference. Today's guest has been Chris Voss. So you got somebody, if you got a listener right now who you've blown their ears back with the whole thing with, you know, the problem with yes and wanting to get to no. If you could leave them with an idea that you'd want them to take away from our conversation, somebody's like, man, I would love to become a better negotiator, besides reading your book, of course, what would that one thought be? What would that one idea be for a listener?
All right, try this out in your low-stakes conversations, because you're never going to make changes in the big-stakes conversations until you practice at low stakes. So day-to-day conversations, Starbucks employees, Lyft driver, whoever, right?
Yeah.
Waiter, waitresses.
Makes sense, yeah.
You know, just see if you can get them talking. See if you can hear them out. Try to hear somebody else out before you offer your opinion. Try to summarize it for them so that they look at you and say, that's right, before you give your opinion. Just in stuff that doesn't matter. See if you can get good at summarizing somebody's point of view. You're going to be shocked at how much information you'll get when you try to do that. And information is power in a negotiation.
Because if people feel that you're actually listening, they're going to give up a ton more of information for you.
Massive amount of information.
So it's listening, getting them to share, and I know you talk, we didn't get a chance to get to it, but not you're right, but getting them to say that that's right.
Getting them to say that's right. You're right is what people say to you to get you to shut up.
Yeah.
That's right is what they say. That's right is what they say when you got it right and they want to talk.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. Listen, this is the book was an eye-opener for me. As somebody who thought, oh, yeah, I thought I was a pretty good negotiator. Wow, I learned some lessons here. So thank you so much for spending some time with us today. And it's, again, a great read for anybody out there. It's Never Split the Difference. Today's guest, Chris Voss. Chris, thank you so much for being on board.
Yeah, man, and we got a newsletter if we have time to tell people about that.
Of course, absolutely.
All right, and the newsletter's free, so it's a good price.
Let's do it. So we don't have to negotiate. It's free.
Yeah, there you go. It's a great supplement to the book. Like, you know, supplement the book with the newsletter. Send a text to sign up function. Send a text message to the number 22828, and it's 22828. Send the message FBI empathy, all one word. Don't let your spell check autocorrect put a space in there. So FBI empathy, all one word, to 22828. You get a text message back. Sign you up. The newsletter is the gateway to everything.
Wow. So it's FBI empathy, all one word, and text it. Give that number one more time, please.
22828.
Awesome. Awesome. Great offer. So thanks so much for offering that up. Chris, thank you again, sir. Awesome conversation.
My pleasure, Tim. Thanks for having me on, man.
You got it. And this is the Profit Express right here in WRHU. I'm fortunate enough to have a number of authors on the show. This really was a really eye-opening book for me. Again, there's Never Split the Difference. Chris Voss, highly recommend if you're in business, even if you're not in business, but certainly if you're in business and sales, read the book. It is an absolute great, great read. Don't go anywhere, okay? Because up next, we have, and he's one of your favorites, I know this. He's our residential financial expert, Phil Capel of Piermont Wealth Management, and he's going to share, as he always does, the market updates, financial news, and a very interesting topic of Shark Tank fails that turned into big successes. Don't go anywhere.